Matt Crescent-Suzuki, and I'm talking to Paul Denning. And I'm really excited to be here on behalf of Optichrome. It's the first time I've ever been here, and it's an incredible setup you've got here. Now, Optichrome support Crescent-Suzuki, and I just wanted to really talk to you and find out a little bit more about your activities, in particular, what kind of year you had last year in the sport, and what we got to expect going forward.
Well, as Crescent Suzuki, we're Suzuki's official team in the World Superbike Championship. The World Superbike Championship is one for heavily modified production street bikes, whereas the MotoGP World Championship is for prototype races. So it's the closest racing in the world, because all the production-based bikes are quite evenly matched. We managed to win a race last year, and we managed to have quite a few podiums, but unfortunately the overall championship position was let down by a combination of accidents and errors and some mechanical misfortunes. So you've got to be very, very consistent. You know, we're racing against Factory Ducati team and the Aprilia teams, both from Italy, and racing against the Japanese competition in Kawasaki and Honda. And it's a tough championship. And if you make a small mistake, you're going to be nowhere near the podium. So last year, the potential was good, and the overall result wasn't what we're looking for. But this year, we're hoping to add some consistency into that potential, and with some new regulation changes that are that have affected the technical aspects this year, it seems to have brought the Suzuki to a better level compared to the opposition. So, yeah, we're looking for maybe we won the first race of the year last year. I won't be disappointed if we don't win the first race this year. I'll be happier if we build up to a more consistent season.
Right, brilliant. And the season finishes November, have I got that right?
It finishes in Qatar in middle of October this year.
Right, okay.
So it runs from the end of February in Australia all the way through to the middle of October in Qatar. Takes in nine European races in the sort of homelands of motorsports, such as Donington Park in UK and Imola and Misano in Italy and Jerez in Spain, Magny-Cours in France, etc. And then goes to sort of slightly more exotic venues such as Thailand, Malaysia, California, etc. So it's a true world championship, and you've got to race in all different conditions, and you've got to put up with the both cultural differences and logistical difficulties of racing in different countries.
One of your team members was telling me about some of those difficulties you have, down to, in some countries, you've got to literally at customs check in every single bit of kit and check it out again. They want to know what goes in and what comes out.
No, everything that goes out, which is about 36 flight cases full of equipment and spare parts and machinery, has to be detailed down to the last nut and bolt. Otherwise, you can end up not receiving your stuff at the racetrack. So, yeah, it's as big a logistical challenge as it is a technical challenge. And, you know, but I'm lucky, you know, we've got a well-established team with some very good people, and touch wood, that side of it should tick along all right.
Okay, now, so you said the season finishes around about the middle of October. It starts again in February, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stop, does it, in between that time? I noticed you took me down to the workshop earlier. You've just been out to Spain to practice, and it's a hive of activity here.
Yeah, well, literally the truck was back last night from Jerez in the very south of Spain. And we've only got sort of five working days to turn everything around, have it all packed up, and then it gets freighted to Australia for the first race. So anything technical that's been developed during those tests needs to be, if you've only tested one of a certain item, it needs more made if it was positive, or modifications made if it was a negative test item. So there's a lot to do, and the guys will be happy when the freight goes, because at least after the freight's gone to Australia, we've got sort of a week's downtime before we actually fly the people over to Australia to meet the stuff and build the bikes and go racing.
So in terms of, you just mentioned Australia, how many people will be involved in that operation from the stuff going out there and then the team? So how many people actually are on the team?
Well, our team itself to Australia, including the riders, will be around 20 people.
Right.
And obviously the championship as a whole is massive. It's a big, it's not as big a logistical operation, for example, as Formula One, but
right.
You still need the same attitude towards getting it right and towards how it's got to be. You know, it's it adds a lot of stress to the team as well if things aren't, you know, simple things like rental cars and accommodation right. and transfers, if things aren't well organised. So we've got a team administrator who does a wonderful job with the travel plans and what have you. And, you know, you've got to try and keep the guys happy. And
that's a big responsibility.
It is, because it's the small things when you're tired and you're jet lagged and you've got a long working week ahead of you that make a difference to the performance in the end. So having a sort of at least a reasonable level of organisation makes the job a lot easier.
Okay, now I got sight of the brochure that Optichrome produced for you. Really gorgeous brochure. Could you just tell us what you're using that for and what benefit that has to Crescent Suzuki?
Well, Optichrome has been our print partner for some years now. And when Richard Bond joined Optichrome, he persuaded Natalie to support the team. And the fact that Optichrome do our print is one element of it, but it's the added value of the quality of what they do and the innovative solutions to presentation. And at the end of the day, we live and die via sponsorship, so the team has to look right and everything we do has to add value to the brands that we're associated with. And what Optichrome do for us just lifts the team's presentation to a different level. You know, when you're doing brochures for 30 million quid apartments in London, you know, the quality has to be absolutely at the very, very top. And they're able to apply those techniques and that kind of imagery to what they do for us as a race team. And it's all the small details in any form of sport that make a difference. And Optichrome is one of our most important partners in terms of helping to present us properly, helping us to communicate what we do well, and adding value throughout the operation. So you know, we're very happy to be partnered by Optichrome, and quite a lot of our sponsors and business partners have been introduced to them, and hopefully we'll be able to develop some new business opportunities for Optichrome as we go forward.
Fantastic. Well, we're very much looking forward to doing some more media coverage of your activities and maybe exploiting some of the internet technology that we have now so that we can maybe follow the team a little bit and see what's going on. So I'm really looking forward to that. Paul Denning, thanks very much for taking part in the podcast.
Very, very welcome, and thanks to Optichrome for your support. Thank you.